Greetings, Be Aware people. Welcome to Be Aware Nation, a corporation for evolution. We invite you to interact with us as we explore, develop, and synthesize awareness throughout layered living. We're evolutionizing the way people think, feel, and deal by merging medias into minds that matter. Being aware is a state to put your mind in. Join us as we consciously work to adapt the frameworks, models, and structures that make up all of our present-day operating systems and ownership models. We're here to fully explore the realm of where the ethereal becomes the material. Be Aware Nation is guided by the wisdom of the human spirit, utilizing the law.
Greetings, Be Aware people, in the stereo this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm Sally Lutzer, and this is Barry Lutzer, my lovely husband. And here we are at Be Aware Nation. Being aware is a state to put your mind in.
That's right, and we're continuing our exploration about how being aware really functions in our day-to-day lives, really what we can do to bring awareness to a working scale, how to do that both personally, professionally, and communally, as well as societally. There's so many needs now to really begin to overhaul, repurpose, reconstruct, revolutionize the very systems by which we have been governing our lives throughout human history. And so the sort of focus of what we've been talking about as we've gone on through these last few shows is that state of awareness, what really awareness is constructed out of in terms of our own experiential basis, and what our relationship of being as selves is to awareness, and how awareness becomes us, and how we are that state of knowing. And so that's really an interesting place to really focus on, I think, is the continual examination of knowingness and how knowingness begets our lives, our daily doings, our functional selves, if you will. And so one of the things in which we're up to here today is trying to sort of re-examine some of the things that we've been talking about over the last few shows so that we can recapture some of that essence and move forward with it. We want to really make sure that as we go forth, we're bringing ourselves with us. And so how we do that is to continually define where we've been. And certainly last week's show was really focused on a heightened sense of awareness and attunement to that sense of knowing what our own sense of being is all about and how they are tied together and how they are in essence the experience of life itself. And so one of the things in which being aware of being aware produces is the state of connectivity to self in a way that it is not ordinarily done on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day basis. And so how we define that, how we ultimately engage ourselves in the process of that knowing and therefore translating that knowing into our activities really takes a new type of language to describe these new types of experiences that we're having. And so we don't want to continually rehash certain points, but we certainly want to focus attention where we think it's due. And one of the places we think it's very due is in this realm of how we do define the experiences that we're having. And it's clear that as this process of evolution continually speeds up, now literally, not only moment to moment, but here we're only on internet radio here at BBS Radio only once a week. And so once a week, we're able to describe a week's full of experiences that have been layered on and layered in and bring us to a much deeper, much broader, much more expanded sense of what being aware in the world means today. And so how do we convey that on an ongoing basis? We need to continue to weave it into what was, so that we know what is, so we have an idea of where it is we're going and what it is we want that awareness to now produce. As such, being aware of being aware certainly gives us the capacity, as we've said, to design our desires, to literally construct a life of substance, merit, and meaning that is of our own making. And so how do we do that? How does that process occur? What are the fundamental elements that enable us to shake down our experience, if you will, so that we can actually delineate the components of it, so that we can begin to define them, actually describe what's going on in these heightened senses of awareness, these states of connectivity that produce a sort of visual and visceral sensibility of wholeness, of interdependence, of interconnectedness, the recognition of the states of awareness, not only within ourselves, but all around us now. You can hardly turn around where the concept and context of awareness is not being spoken about. It's literally a functional aspect of daily life in so many ways. Now that technology has sped up and become such a functional part of our daily lives, as we said last week, this whole concept, really the basis of what we're up about, remember, is merging medias into minds that matter. So how we really take advantage of this moment to examine what really do we functionally mean by merging medias into minds that matter? What is it that the concept of being aware and awareness, the sense of being, that sense of self, that sense of combining awareness with self so that the experience of being is already conscious of not only itself, but of its process in existence. And as soon as we understand process in existence, we recognize our connectivity to other selves. And so that sort of connectivity to other selves is what certainly comes along with that heightened sense of awareness, that heightened sense of consciousness, an obligation to include that other self in the experience. And so that sense of obligation really comes about from such a core essence of our being, as we've said, that it's really the basis of being that is a shared experience. So that sense of sharing our process comes so organically, comes so naturally. It is the essence of being. It is the way we live. The way we express ourselves fundamentally is by sharing our process. And so how we share our process is so fundamental and incumbent about how we build a life of substance, merit, and meaning that is reflective of the type of awareness, the type of beingness, the type of selfhood that I think we're all after, that certainly seems to be a common denominator across the board, clearly on this network, and many others. The reason, again, that a network like this exists is because it's growing in scope and in size and in breadth across the globe, across the universe. The signal, the ether communication is getting clearer and clearer. And people's willingness to accept the fact that that ether communication, that fundamental guiding light, that open principle that engages life itself, the engine of the life force, that sense of knowing, it's what do we use to construct that sense of knowing, that sense of self? And so those are that's a little bit of a round robin of how we got to discussing that whole idea and ideal of awareness in being. And I want to look at how that can act as the fundamental basis for really what we're up to over here overall in the larger picture is really, as we've stated, one of the fundamentals of the basic dilemma that we face in advancing our awareness is our patterned existence, which is incumbent upon our memory of our past behaviors. And so our past behaviors have been informed by our experiences, which were translated into terminology, words and phrases and terms that describe the experiences so that we could remember them, so that we could recall them, so that we could discuss them and share them. And so out of that repeated behavior, we are now left with these vessels, these vehicles, these physical bodies, wherein the messaging is already fairly pre-prescribed. And so most people's day-to-day lives are lived from that prior sense of knowing, that prior positionality of beingness. And so as the world turns faster and faster and the requirements for living become greater and greater and the speed at which it's all transacting continues to increase, our capacities to be equal to simply finding a slot wherein we're able to open up to the actual discourse that is our lives, that is the discovery of the moment-to-moment opportunity of living. And so how do we seize upon some avenue of expression within that process that allows for some sense of uniqueness, some sense of the code word of authenticity? How do you find uniqueness? How do you find a sense of self when the pressures are so great that you have to carry on at such a level simply to stay equal in a survival mode, let alone an advancing mode? And so how do you gain agreement amongst your realm, not only your own selves, but your group selves, your family selves, your mate selves, your family, your social structure? How do you gain a framework that allows for the opportunity for these kinds of expressions to take place? Is there enough agreement? Is there enough support for a way to break out of common thinking, of common acting? That's a very, very big issue today. And we're really looking today at crumbling infrastructures all around as a result of the decay of our inability, as a result of our inability to redefine anew the experiences of awareness, the experiences of consciousness, the experiences of knowing, that intuitional sense that gives us a brighter, bigger, fuller picture than the one we're currently experiencing. And the result is because we refuse to advance our definition of what that experience is, to delineate anew what that language can describe that experience as, to literally, neologism is the creation of new words that describe new experiences. And we're busy having lots of new experiences without many new words. And so our vocabulary of being, the very nature, the dictionary of our living systems, is blank, full of blank pages. Now, how in the world can one study a blank page and extract information of substance, merit, and meaning enough to be able to advance their cause? And that's where we're at today. And that's why we're suffering as a species, as a people, as a society, as a culture, as families, as individuals, as selves. Because we have refused to acknowledge the significance of what's occurring. That the fundamental basis of our being is expanding. And the realm in which it's seeking to expand is pushing at the boundaries of our defined realm, our defined experience. And so if we don't become much more proactive, much more willing to push at the edges of our experience, how will we begin to accept that we are refusing to be the creators of this new expanded sense of self? And right now, the nature of this communal sense of self is really what's under such siege. The level of the discussion that's now currently going on, I think even here on this own network, the call for change is so great. Where does that call for change come from? From an accumulated sense of sameness, status quo-ness, that has failed to be the answer for our needs. And so the way in which the sense of governance gets called upon, you know, how does, again, our basic construct within this whole field of study, if you will, of human nature, is really based on our whole structural breakdown of our own interpretation of the universal ethos. Remember, ethos is what we all live with, by, and for. It is the fundamental essence of our being. It is not only our declaration of character, it is our declaration of self. Ethos in our world is an acronym. It stands for ethical thoughts honoring our spirit. We believe that the fundamental universal ethos is comprised, as we've said, of this cosmic trinity, these basic patterns that the universe uses to convey its ether communications, the way in which cosmic energy transmutes itself into the fundamental physical material matter that exists, is done with the universal ethos, that fundamental intention to inform that material matter with the love-filled goodness that we believe is the universal intention, that we believe is the universal ethos, that we fundamentally recognize in our own personal patterns of living. And so as that cosmic energy transmutes into material matter, it does so with love-filled goodness, making every single thing that exists a living asset of love-filled goodness. And because it's clear that we are here as interpretive beings having our own reflective experience of this universal ethos, it is up to each and every one of us to gather those living assets that are most reflective of the interpretation we have of that universal ethos into the type of living system that we believe is most reflective. We just so happen to call ours the living system of love, because it is our fundamental belief that through the history of humankind, the fundamental principle in play to define the experience of being human has been warism, the operating system of fear. The basic componentry, the basic method, the basic model that humans have used to engage in what we've called, again, human commerce. That fundamental way of being that we started out with as human beings. We had human commerce with each other for the purpose of enriching each other's humanity. So as we've come to a state of understanding what enriching each other's humanity has been about, this state of awareness has grown and flourished to cause us to get to a point now where we can actually articulate that the operating system of fear, so institutionally enshrined, is what is used within every single framework to control and constrain our human creativity to push beyond the edges of human experience so that we can begin to understand anew what we can begin to describe, how to define an experience that delivers the results of an offering of a shared experience that can truly enrich another's humanity, that can expand their humanity for the purpose of being bigger, being better human beings, for the purpose of expressing greater amounts of joy, greater amounts of celebratory opportunity of living. The universe is bounty, pure and simple. How we reflect that bounty is where this constraint of systemic belief has us trapped. And that's really a result of so much of our own personal willingness to be constrained. Our own sense of self had not grown in stature, in confidence, in scope, enough to believe we were it, that we had the componentry, that we were the resource capacity to be able to describe the fullness of being. And so as we've come to understand how this cosmic energy transmutes into these material matter assets, these living assets of fruitful opportunities that we can choose to gather into a living system that mirrors our own universal ethos. Again, that's what the cosmic trinity is. It is the UOS, the universal operating system, the GOS, the global operating system, the POS, your personal operating system. When you have those three things in alignment and balance, that is a living system schema of substance, merit, and meaning. That is what gives living fullness. That is what gives the opportunity of a shared experience the quality of being able to enrich another's humanity. It's what gives the level of reflective quality that the universal ethos seems to be offering, the quality of being that it, that full reflection deserves. That opportunity to be our fuller selves is what's within every one of these moments where cosmic energy transmutes into material matter. Every moment anew, we are clearly able to choose to design the living assets that most reflect our newly refined sense of what that universal ethos means to us. How do we translate that UOS, that universal operating system, into a perspective of the global operating system? One of the things I think that is most important, especially within the realm of this particular network, seems to be the exploration of this global operating system. And what and how do we as conscious beings intend to do about improving and enhancing and enlivening that global operating system so that it is a far greater vehicle to produce far more meaningful shared equity? And how do you accomplish such things without being able to describe them, without being able to define them? The significance of what it means to be able to speak about how one interprets their own connectivity to their own definition of ethereal euphoria. We've been human beings for a long time. We've been at this game for lots of years. We've had lots of different models. We've had lots of different belief systems. We've had lots of experiences and experiments. We've looked at how we can frame being humans together in an awful lot of ways. And yet, for the most part, we have been not guided well enough to a place where we are now able to declare and define what our ethereal euphoria is really about. This doesn't have anything to do with gods or beings of any kind. It has to do with self and self-sense of ethereal euphoria and how that ethereal euphoria gets translated into a tangible, functional, living model. And that sense of ethereal euphoria is what we mean when we speak to and about the universal operating system, that it encompasses everybody's interpretation of religious belief, a greater beingness that is some way in shape or form responsible for this concept of ethereal euphoria and its ability to deliver to us human beings a operational system by which to reflect and showcase that understanding, that depth of recognition, reflective quality. And so that's the ideal of what the UOS means. And so here we are, especially, and I think most profoundly, that's the significance of what this particular network represents in ways that I'm not sure many others have yet been emboldened to do, is to really be a platform that really is seeking to translate that ethereal euphoria into a world view, if you will, in the political realm. One of the things that we're looking at in terms of a global operating system is who's doing the operating, who's doing the leading. We spoke about leaders last week. We spoke about the concept of leadership. We spoke about why they're leaders and why their others aren't. And remember, leadership is a function of the capacity to be able to describe a vision, to literally define the actualization of how that vision can become real. That's someone who's going beyond the edge of the experience to describe what's going on out there so that they can define it in a way that gets translated to excite others to want to go there. And so that's exactly what the global operating system is now going through. This political realm, this political moment in time wherein this political process is beginning to heat up here in this country, in America, is really a significant moment in time because of America's policies within the global operating system and how instructive and informative those policies are to the rest of the global family. And so the focus of attention now on the qualities of being that enable leadership to bring to bear the kind of systemic change that we need to be able to alter the course of our reality is now being looked at through the prism of a very narrow landscape wherein it's difficult to achieve understanding of the size and scope and breadth that we need to examine these particular offerings on the political platter. And so the nature of the global operating system is yet so significant to how we are able to move forward as a species, yet the scope of understanding of how that global operating system is functioning, where its influences are, where its reference points are, there are so many functionally illiterate components and participants to that framework. It makes for a weak platform for engaging the types of change that we as the people would like to see happen. And a lot of that is a result, again, of those people that are capable of illuminating others with a particular vision bright enough and hard enough and long enough are the ones that begin to alter that ingrained influential behavioral pattern. And so how to gain access to the ability to be that bright and brilliant so that you can be that influential within this new world where media seems to be the currency of our times within this global operating system. How then do you seize upon the componentry necessary to begin to alter that formula, let alone participate in it? And so that's the significance of where we come to with the concept of POS and why our personal operating system is so fundamental to the capacity of self. The nature of being is so fundamentally reliant on that ability to describe and define for self what that resource capacity of self is. And resource capacity in more common times where awareness was not the guiding force, where survival was, capacity looked like an awful lot of different things, structurally, materially, physically, the need to actualize self, to materialize benefit, to enable self to progress and move forward and to flourish even and again to breed and to create offspring for the expansion of a greater sense of self transpired in some, again, fairly rudimentary manners. Where just simply surviving and putting a roof over your head and putting food on the table and, being able to believe that tomorrow was going to be able to deliver the same thing, that level of confidence and security was not something that was robbed from you every time you closed your eyes and went to sleep. There's still so much of our global operating system participants that don't have that privilege, that don't share that common sense of self, that common heritage, that same sense of being, where shared experience has enriched their humanity. And so that ideal of self that gets expressed through POS, that personal operating system, again, comes from being aware that you have a POS. Being aware that there is such a thing as a personal operating system. Being aware of being aware gives you a POS. And once you are aware of being aware, what you do with your POS, how do you move your POS forward? What is a personal operating system in alignment with a global operating system? What is a personal operating system in alignment with a universal operating system? How do those get translated to each other amongst themselves? How does a personal operating system inform a global operating system? How does the universal operating system inform your personal operating system? How in the world that you live in does your personal operating system show up on a day-to-day basis, let alone on a moment-to-moment basis? In every one of your engagements on a day-to-day basis, your POS, your personal operating system, is what you bring to bear to engage whatever it is you engage. If it is another, it is a self-to-self engagement. It is a POS to POS play. POS to POSes are playing off of their inclusiveness of their sense of place in the GOS. Their sense of place in the GOS, operated by self, is based on their interpretation of the UOS, of whatever their interpretation of the universal life operating system is. It informs their capacity to engage the Goss, to engage that global operating system, to find place, to define self within the global operating system. That's POS, that's personal operating system. And so how one uses that personal operating system to not only reflect the universal operating system, to not only reflect their interpretation and place within the global operating system, but within their own personal process, their own personal sense of self. We call it the personal, POS stands for personal operating system. It also stands for personal onboard spirit lab, utilizing the wisdom of the human spirit by integrating the laws of science, by understanding you cannot have one without the other. You cannot be separate from yourself. Your sense of self is inclusive. You, again, that's where ethos, that sense of declaration of self, is your ethos logical declaration. One declares an ethos logical declaration because one is capable of recognizing how and where they are connected to their universal operating system. So you are immediately then able to define those ethical thoughts honoring our spirits. Those ethical thoughts that honor our spirits, that give us definition of self, put us in place within the global operating system. What we're speaking to and about today, especially on this network, is very much about that place, that sense of self, that global operating system. How does POS fit into GOSS? And unless and until we're capable, as this particular network attempts to do, to bridge the UOS as a very meaningful component, then we are going to find ourselves really at a loss. We're going to really still contain a position that is on balance, is on center. And so we want to, again, take an opportunity to remind us all that the significance of being is dependent on our ability to express ourselves, not only to each to ourselves, but most importantly, to each other. Because it's that sense of shared experience where communicating our experience to each other allows for an expansion of self that delivers the type of enrichment for each other's sense of humanity that is what enlarges our sense of scope and size and place of being for our society. And so we have really looked at this from an overall standpoint of how to take this cosmic trinity and translate what we believe the basic fundamental block to bringing awareness into beingness as warism, the operating system of fear. So it is our conscious declaration, our own personal conviction and commitment to work towards what we believe is the evolutionizing, the conscious process of refining what we believe to be that block, warism, the operating system of fear, by evolutionizing it into what we call the living system of love. And we think that one of the most important things that we've been able to ascertain and declare within our own personal experiences as the fabric, the threads, the sinuous nature that ties this cellular fabric of this institutionalized state of the operating system of fear into our cultural way of living, the cultural fabric by which we are tied together, is capitalism. Capitalism has really come to be universally expected to be delivering a quality and level of living that is only achievable through the market dynamics that this particular model can deliver. And the capitalistic model that we think needs to be evolutionized really is the basis of where we are within this context of being, that this systemic way of looking at the aspects of human nature and what guides human nature are these larger frameworks, are these larger principles in play that govern all of the subsequent and subset components. And so democracy, if you will, the model of governance that has been used as recently to define this way of the global operating system that we find ourselves in today, is really a continuing expansion itself of the human understanding of governance. And so how that whole system of governance throughout human history has been explored has really delivered an array of various models that have delivered us to different places relative to our time and place, relative to our group that was being governed, and more specifically to the size of the group that was being governed. And that's truly wherein the challenge lies, that the significance of self that has now been mirrored across so many billions of selves, the universal ethos is finding itself very well reflected when it comes to human selves. But the significance of the quality of that reflection has come to be questioned. And so how do we now face the question of are we adequately, are we doing what we can to bring to bear the kind of reflection that universal ethos, that universal intention, that sense of knowing of what that universal intention could be, is that busy going on? Are we accomplishing that? Are we moving in the appropriate direction? Do these models that are currently governing us bring to bear the kind of qualities that are necessary that continue to advance the abilities to bring that sense of shared equity to bear for larger and larger portions of the human family? And so clearly, the models that are currently in place, the ideals that are the presumptions, the pattern behaviors, the ways of knowing before, the prior sense of knowing that informed our abilities to construct our sense of governance, our sense of a global operating system, our sense of operating systems at all, was based on far, far, far less complex needs. And so as our needs have become more complex, as evolution has speeded up, as technology has improved and increased, as we've gone, remember, the technology pathway, I think, started with the wheel or the fire, the flint. We've been at this game a long time. And so how we find ourselves at this point in time now reaching for meaning within the confluence of technology and meaning and media for some type of a living system that is reflective of a UOS, of a GOS, of a POS, worth having. It's a challenge. And so until and unless we as a group discover ways to share our new interpretations of what we all believe is fundamentally going on and what is fundamentally possible, we won't be able to expand the discourse beyond our known experience unless we bring to bear the definitions, the declarations that begin to describe what it is we each have to offer. And now that technology has afforded us something like the internet to be able to have an expressive opportunity like this particular show is a really remarkable event in human history where the collective consciousness can find commonality, where those ether communications can find frequency specificity, where the nature of being literally reaches out to grab us. The opportunities are so many now for just simply defining what it is you think your ethereal euphoria may be comprised of, and search long enough and you'll find something akin to it. And when you find something akin to it, it will be attached to another, a self, having an expressive opportunity, a shared experience meant to enrich each other's humanity. And so where we are is literally where we need to be. Where we are is where we want to be. Where we want to be is in a place where we can be more for each other. And now the internet literally provides us an opportunity to do that. We have ourselves an interesting network that we are getting ready. And Be Aware Nation Radio is clearly a major component of it. But we own a number of meaningful domain names that we think describe this work in quite significant matters. I want Sally to describe something that we've written from our book, The Sharing System, that will bring to bear a little bit and a little sense of what it is we're up to. This is a basic review of what we've spoken about, but it's also a sort of encapsulation in a refreshing manner that I think you'll come to understand is the basis of what our body of work is meant to be about and what some of what we have to offer will be about and what you'll come to understand as we start being able to deliver a bit more. We've been working getting our network together. And so our website at beawarenation.com certainly delivers a little bit of information for you. But in this next couple of weeks, we're going to be up and running in a couple of different ways that we'll inform you about as we go along. But we intend to bring to bear an awful lot of this work into some interactive communities online that hopefully will really engage an awful lot of people in their own abilities to express their creativity. So here's a little piece from our book, The Sharing System, that Sally's going to read for you, and we'll check back in.
So, hi there. In The Sharing System, we describe the aspects and the frameworks of our work. And so this is ether communication. We spoke in the very beginning of the show about ether communication. So ether communication, delivering the universal ethos, synthesize systems, advancing human nature by evolutionizing our civilization. The synthesized systems of UOS, GOS, and POS are presented here through the pillars of possibilities within the cosmic trinity, a new model for an evolutionized civilization, co-creating new communities within interdependent global societies. These showcase the three pillars of our organization's operating modalities, representing all aspects of human nature: culture, community, and commerce, cooperatively creating civilized culture for our new world.
Now, the nature of this whole process going forward is really, in our worlds, how we bring this sense of cosmic trinity to bear in a functional model, and how we translate our understanding, our interpretation of our ethereal euphoria is expressed through these various frameworks and models that we've built and constructed. And so the UOS, GOS, and POS, Universal Operating System, Global Operating System, and Personal Operating System, is really a function of how we believe this cosmic trinity is reflected through all of reality. Likewise, we believe that the UOS is also very much patterned by LQ. Just as we believe that GOS, the global operating system, is mirrored by EQ. Equally, POS, the personal operating system, is mirrored by IQ. And now, clearly, we know many people who have had their personal experiences defined by IQ and where that places them within their societal structure. We all have begun to learn more and more about what EQ has represented in the world of psychology, of education. We know it both as educational quotient, emotional quotient. In our world, it's equity quotient. Where LQ, the synthesis of love and life, a love quotient and a life quotient, mirroring our ethereal euphoria. The significance of how LQ, the love quotient, your life quotient, that sense of universal operating system informs our culture. That's the basis where civil culture creates civic commerce. The concept of where GOS, the global operating system, engaging an emotional quotient, an educational quotient, but most importantly today, an equity quotient, that economic quotient that delivers the quality of equity that a shared experience was originally meant to deliver, that ability to have an opportunity to enrich each other's humanity, occurs as a sense of community governance. That community, that sense of place that is really defined by our capacity to govern it. Global operating system. EQ, community and governance. Where IQ, we've known as intellectual quotient, where we have risen particular people up the social strata because of their intellectual quotient. They had some capacity to be able to deliver to us some perception of our realities. That ability to understand themselves, their personal operating system, their sense of understanding of the intellectual need for self, delivered that sense of human commerce, that shared experience, where commerce really fundamentally grew out of. So that idea where IQ truly is intellectual quotient has left us a little bit shy of our mark. For in our world, IQ is intuitional quotient. Intuitional quotient is the true sense of self, the true reflection of a personal operating system, the true capacity to deliver a human commerce exchange, a true sense of a shared experience, the true sense of shared communication, where that degree and quality of human commerce exists, so that civil commerce creates the kind of cultural citizens we're looking to use to participate within our global operating system, so that civil governance can aid in creating civic culture. Again, that sense of place, that sense of ideal, where civil culture creates civic commerce. That's what a complete circle looks like. So civil commerce creating cultural citizenry engages us in a capacity to be within a common community where cooperation ultimately is the basis of our shared experience. It's all focused on the sharing system and how we ourselves are able to bring ourselves to share with each other in a sufficient enough manner to bring our reflective quality to bear to cause each other to expand in knowingness. Awareness. The ideal of being aware, of being aware. The nature of being is for the opportunity to have that quality of a shared experience, that we know we are enriching each other's humanity. And as human beings, we get to do that every living second of every living day. As long as we are breathing, as long as we are being, we bring with that the capacity to bring to bear love and nurturement. The qualities of our being to raise love and nurturement make that shared experience fully capable of enriching each other's humanity in such a way as to enlarge the scope so that more and greater amounts of that level of sharing can go on. And so that's what we mean when we say being aware is a state to put your mind in. That's what we mean by merging medias into minds that matter. And that's what we believe is possible. And that's what we want to see happen as a result of continually defining our own descriptions of our own experiences so that we can declare out loud, up front, who we are and how we are being ourselves.
And absolutely well said, and thank you, Barry, for such an eloquent day. I enjoyed listening to you. It was really a pleasure for me to have this whole time just to listen to you like that, and I got so much out of it. Thank you. And just to follow up on one of the things that you just said, that really, you know, we used to say, well, tomorrow's another day. But you know what? Every minute is another day. Every nanosecond is another day. We can repurpose our life by the seconds. And so I want to wish you all a beautiful week and make every nanosecond count.
See you in the ether.
See you in the ether.
Thank you for joining us, Be Aware people, here at Be Aware Nation, where being aware is a state to put your mind in. So come visit us at BeAwareNation.com until we can continue our conversation next Sunday at 5 p.m. here on BBS Radio Channel 1, where we'll look forward to finding out what you're doing to merge medias into your mind in a way that matters. Remember, life affirms what you believe, so don't believe everything you think. Into it, your way home. See you in the ether.